Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Presence of the Lord. Amen. Have you entered into His presence this evening? Amen. You know, a man could be standing right next to you and you've done caught away into the heavenlies, and he is as bound and earthly and carnal as he could be right there in the same mist. The same, could be in the same pew, the same car, standing in the same room with you. And one could be bound in torment and eternal damnation and hell, and another one has been caught away into the heavenly blessings of the Lord, walking in the peace and tranquility and the revelation of the Lord. Amen. Being present with them. I tell you, it's real. Sometimes people look at you and go, I don't know what you're talking about. But I'll tell you what, when you drink of it, partake of it, and you're caught into it, then you know. There's nothing that this world has to compare. There's nothing. I know that we speak oftentimes of, you know, allegories and types and shadows and comparing the invisible things to the things that appear, for we can get a little bit of a comprehension, but there is no comprehension without the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can be compared to the things that God has in store for His elect children. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Let's pray together while we're standing. Father, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You, Lord, that You're present. You're here. You're within us, and we in You, Lord God. We thank You, Lord God, that nothing could separate us from You, Lord God. Nothing whatsoever. No death, no hell, no principality, no power. No things visible, no things invisible, Lord God, could separate us. Father, we thank You for the hope that we have in You. We thank You for the promises that are yea and amen. We thank You, Lord God, that Your word be true and every man be a liar. Father, help us, Lord God, not to be entangled in the affairs of this world or ensnared with the wiles of darkness and Satan, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to walk above reproach, Lord God, in the mighty power of Your Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Help us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated this evening. Praise God. I tell you, it feels wonderful. Amen. Feels wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Feels wonderful. Through a state of the way we think and a state of mind, we could be bound in darkness. We could be bound in depression, oppression. I remember many, many years ago, you know, and some of the trainings and teachings and pressing and learning and walking and growing in the things of God. You know, many of the disputes of the religious realms and, oh, a Christian can't be possessed by a devil. And they would go into such a teaching that they think because we said this prayer that there was basically no demonic influence around us whatsoever at all because we said this little sinner's prayer and asked Jesus in our heart. And they would convince themselves that they was in this particular mode or place. There's a little bit of truth in it. Honestly speaking, there's some very beautiful, profound truths in their thoughts and in some of their doctrines. We got to go again line upon line, and we got to get a revelation of the word. And you say, well, Brother Rob, do you believe that a spirit-filled Christian could be possessed by a devil? And I say, absolutely not. Possession means ownership. But if we don't think that there could be some oppression that comes, and a travail and a fight and a warfare, then, you know, he made us soldiers for a reason. Now, if we remove the satanic influence, you know, we think of during the millennium that Satan be bound in this pit for 1,000 years. There's still going to be people that are walking contrary to God. Do you realize that? So once we remove Satan out of the way, there's still going to be people in rebellion against God. And at the very end, Satan will come back and gather his together that he can. And then they'll all be cast into the lake of fire. It says death and hell also. And they'll be cast together. But the rebellion in that particular time of what we say this 1,000-year reign is going to be through man, through man's mind. Sometimes I see men, they want to blame it on the devil. And it ain't nothing but their desires and their wishes. And they're so close, the desires and the love of the flesh are so close to the satanic things anyway, it would be hard to differentiate. You see, now let's look at the other side of the coin, so to speak, for expression's sake. You see, a man, through the polished efforts of human will, he could present the fruits that would look according to godliness, according to righteousness, according to holiness. Okay, and you would number him with that, but he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. He doesn't have the eternal Spirit of God. You know, the Bible talks about whitewashed sepulchers. You know, I mean, it talks about a wolf in sheep's clothing. What is this saying? You know, it's saying that they look right on to the appearance and what you think. Just like the scriptures we opened up the New Year's with on Titus. You know, hey, they, you know, basically confess me with their mouth, but their deeds and everything they do is testifying, you know, that they're not of me, so to speak. I guess I paraphrased that one. That was out of order there just about, but I think you got the just what I'm saying. And let's look at that scripture. Brother Chuck, if you put it up there, it was first chapter of Titus, I think the last verse. But just for we say, I know we brought this up in the last couple of services, but you know, why the Lord would suffer us to expound on something, but this is a very common problem in the religious order, in the religious realm. 1:16, it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. See, that's saying the same thing there, the very same thing. You know, we have a confession. You know, that they've taken, you know, what the Bible does, they confess with the mouth. But this is the part they fail to elaborate on or to express or bring in revelation. It says, confess with your mouth but and believe in the heart. Man's heart's continually evil and wicked. He don't know his heart, and they don't know how to believe in their heart. You see, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then people could sit in a church and not hear the word of God. Well, I got faith, bless God. I've been sitting in church, but have you ever heard the word? You could hear expression coming, audible expressions coming from a man of God or a minister, but have you ever heard the word? You know, there's a different vibration, a different dimension, a different realm. A woman could be very fertile, maybe has 4, 5, or 6 children. But looking at her in the revelation through the mind of God, she could be as infertile as could be and barren and not have no reward because she's barren. I've told you these things. I said a man could go to hell for being a drunk that has never had alcohol in his system ever. A man could go to hell as an adulterer and be considered medically or physically speaking, or a woman as a virgin. Never been in a relationship with a man or a woman and be considered medically speaking a virgin and go to hell as a whore or a harlot. I got Bible for that. Y'all know this. You've been taught these things. He said, a man look upon a woman and lust after he committeth adultery. It didn't say that the man was in a physical relationship or a marital relationship when he said he looked and lusted. See, we're talking about another dimension, aren't we? We're looking into another realm. We need to understand this. You see, the things, as we pulled the scripture up to you again the other night, and it talks about the unseen things being the things that are eternal. The seen things are the things that are temporal. And you base your whole life on what you see. You base your life on what you see. Say, I don't believe it unless I see it. Well, what you're seeing is a lie. If you see it, you better not believe it. Because what you see is vanity. What you're looking at is the lie. And you let the devices of satanic influence through the realms of the five senses of your eyesight, your smelling, your touch, your feeling, these different things, and you let these things manipulate and move your life. Little fish, man, he wished he didn't believe the lie when he seen the lure go by. Boy, it looks good and edible. Got him. Satan lures you with your lust. He lures you with your desires. He lures you with your wants. This is why a man has to learn to curb. He's got to learn to curb things in his life. In other words, deny those things. You know, see, we in Christianity, we do things to condition ourselves of self-denial. You know, now humanity does everything to promote flesh. Want everything. I want a certificate. I want to be recognized. I want to be honored. I want a title. I want this. I want that. And man pushes that. They put you into education. Oh, yeah, I've got, you know, a doctor's degree. I got a master's degree. I got a bachelor's degree. I got this. I got that. And I've got this. And I've got that. They send the preachers to cemetery school for doing the same thing. You know, what I'm saying is this is man. Man wants recognition. Man wants this and that. But then yet we find when God manifested in man and walked in man, it was different. Now see, there's some fine lines here to differentiate. You know, you could say, well, you know, I'm not going to honor no man. Man, you miss God. So then what are you going to do? You hear Brother Rob preaching like, well, it's all denial of man, denial of man, denial of man. You sitting there listening, you need to deny your man, your wishes, your desires, your thoughts, your selfishness. But then yet you deny another man, you miss God. There's some of the things that get into the things of God that there's so many little fine lines. And it depends on how you're standing and how you're looking at it. I remember speaking to you one time and I could say, Brother Steve back here, he, you know, got in the space shuttle and he's up there, man, and, you know, orbiting around the earth. And I say, hey, what's it look like, brother? And he's looking and he said, man, it's a beautiful sphere. Man, it's got these most brilliant colors coming off of it. It's so awesome. And then I look at another guy down here freezing his hind end off, and you know, standing in the ice and stuff and cold. He goes, man, it is freezing cold. I don't see nothing beautiful about this. And they're looking at the same thing from two different perspectives. And then you have to understand them. The heights, depths, widths, lengths of God's word. So when we start differentiating the word, start looking at it, comprehending it, trying to understand it, it depends on where we're at. Now I'm going to say this just for a little bit of a foundation's sake for you, and we're going to go into some scripture. You've heard me say this, I'm going to use it again as a foundation, I'm going to expound, you've been taught this. But the Bible teaches about the lender and it teaches about the borrower. And usually the flesh man will take the scriptures to his own advantage. You're carnal minded on your way to hell when you take the Bible for your own advantage. The Bible's for the other's advantage. I read the Bible for I know how to win you to the kingdom. I read the Bible to know how to help you to advance in the things of God. I read the Bible to prefer you greater than myself. I read the Bible to advance your world and your life, and then God takes care of me. But when I read it, it's all about me. You're getting nothing and you'll perish in your own selfish lust. And everything that you do, this is the problem with most of the ministries. It's all about them. When you see them put my name on it, the ministry of Rob Coons. What a lie of the devil. Rob Coons ain't got no ministry. Rob Coons never had no ministry. I'm a servant of God, and I'm in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Brother George Pike or Brother William Branham's revelation. It's not their revelation whatsoever. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the Apostle Paul. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul, you know, he wrote down so many awesome, deep, beautiful things, man. He had to have this revelation. And I say, yay and amen. But it wasn't his revelation, nevertheless. It was the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the revelation was. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to walk in that revelation. I want to see, perceive, and understand and walk in that. Isn't that what your desire is? We can help one another to walk and to fellowship in those things. Let's start in the Gospel of John here for a moment and read here in John the 13th chapter. It's on down a little ways, but I think I'll begin reading with you right here at the first verse, chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You know, we could really expound on that verse right there. There's a lot of dimension right there in that one verse. He's going to leave one world and going into another. Amen. And it told him where his brethren was at, right there. You know, so there's a lot to be said. Let's go on here just a little bit. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After he poureth water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do you knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I like the way Peter thinks sometimes. He got a lot of trouble. I think I would have been like him. I know that I would have been, Lord would have seen me come and say, oh gosh, here he comes again. Brother Pike was the closest thing I had ever met and fellowshipped and walked with in this world that would be like walking with the Lord, and that's what he did. So I kind of know Jesus would have been that way too. He said, oh no, here comes that Brother Rob again. Amen. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after that he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know what I have done to you? I think he was trying to get them into a little bit of revelation here. You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Don't miss what he's speaking about here. Think about these are some of the final words. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Let me stop there for a second. I want to talk about the washing of feet here for a moment. We can have a church service, say, oh man, this is inspiring. You know, we're going to have a foot washing service, you know, Sunday. You know, oh, praise God, we need to do that. And you can come over here and I could wash your feet and you can wash my feet and you could walk out the door the biggest wretched hypocrite that ever walked. Absolutely done nothing but had to smell somebody's feet or had to wash somebody's feet and humble yourself. But there was a purpose here. There was something that was so far exceeding than washing the filth off of the feet. Just as in baptism, it isn't for the filth of the flesh and that perspective or, you know, whatever. There's a reason and a purpose for it. But God was showing something there. Do you think that if we had foot washing services every week would make us be an example of what he was trying to instill in his brethren there? It goes so far beyond. They're showing that, hey, I am going to come down. I'm going to show servitude unto you. You know, and that would be something that a servant would do. You would never ask an elite man or a powerful man or a wealthy man or somebody that would have been numbered as a leader of Israel or something to wash your feet when you come to the home before you entered into their home. It wouldn't be done. Hey, but here is our Lord and our God, and he came down to meet and show one of the most humble acts of doing that. You see, there's a mind there. There's a revelational mind there in that. Are you willing to do that? Are you so much better than your friends or your brethren or people that you love that you would not do such a kind act for them? You see, we're not in a place nowadays. You know, they walk the streets, the dirty roads, And when they would come, their feet would get dirty. They could have been very clean and left and walked a mile somewhere, and their feet would be dirty. And it was a common thing for foot washing before they'd go into the residence and different kind of things, and even a servant taking care of those. That's the way it was in that time. So we're looking, we can't put it to just a foot washing. I've been to foot washing services. You know, I think it's wonderful. But the thing is, brethren, we're going to have to find the mind and the revelation of what is actually taking place here. If we would examine ourselves, do we really show servitude to our fellow brethren? Now, the Lord said, you know, I'm showing you an example here. He showed an example of what we're supposed to do. But how many of us are too selfish to consider that? How many of us are too good to consider that? I'm talking to every one of us, brethren. We get lofty and lifted up in our minds, and we get where we don't consider servitude. We don't consider to humble ourselves from our lofty state and self-righteousness and pride that we would be willing to do then. Let's go on here for a moment. 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happily are ye if you do them. Kind of goes with that scripture in Titus again, doesn't it? Oh, I know that's right. How many times you get with people and you're fellowshipping in the Word and the Lord, oh yeah, and they always got the right thing to say, but you never see the performance of it. Don't ever see the performance. You don't see it take place. You ran the race well, but what hinders you? Brethren, the scriptures are yea and amen. They're real. I speak not to you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. I'm talking to y'all about y'all. I got to teach this, brethren, because we miss the coming of the Lord on a daily basis. People hear me teach these things and they think I'm taking this to myself. I have to, but you've got to take it to yourself, and you've got to take it to your brother and your fellow brethren, your fellow laborers. You have to do that. You miss the coming of the Lord. Beware when you entertain strangers, because you're entertaining angels unaware. And the thing is we have, because of the failure of the ministry in this day and hour, the failure of organized religion, the failure of the churches, the failure of the ministers taking men's wives and taking piano players that they worship for them and do that. And we've seen all this failure. There's no respect for the ministry. And because there's no respect for the ministry, they're failing to understand that people are rejecting eternal life. They're rejecting the spoken word. They're rejecting it in this day. People need a minister. They cannot remit their own sin. Now you think that you can go to your prayer closet and you can pray your sin away, but it violates the Word of God and the Scriptures. Every single place they sought after the ministry of God. Now I know that people will fight that and challenge that. Now you say, oh, but look at the one on the cross. There was a Savior hanging there next to him, and he spoke the word of life to him. He said, this very day you will be with me in paradise. That was a spoken word that went to that brother. Well, he didn't get baptized in Jesus' name, so I don't know if he made it in or not. I'll promise you the spoken word brought him in. But the same spoken word that commands us to be baptized, we fulfill that. This is why they must find a minister to fulfill that. Amen. Now, if somebody came to a place and they really came to a repentance and had a genuine heart of repentance, and just like the ones, now I'll use this for an example. In the book of Acts, the ones at Cornelius' home there, the Gentiles, the ones that were numbered unclean, the ones that were numbered as dogs, okay? When the Holy Ghost came upon them, okay, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, said, we see that God granted the Spirit, and then it said, would any forbid these water? And they did take and baptize them by water. But if they did not make it to the water hole, would they have made it into the kingdom? Yes, they would have, without a shadow of a doubt. But the thing is people that reject baptism in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and don't think it's necessary, they're rejecting life. It's an act of rebellion. A very, very much act of rebellion. You see, a lot of times we look at the failure of a man or a woman. We look at that failure If it's alcohol, if it's tobacco, if it's drugs, if it's temper, you know, if whatever these fruits, and we look at that and say, this is the thing that'll put them in hell. No, it's the Spirit. It is the Spirit that makes those things come forth. Do you realize there's got to be a Spirit? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's not the mouth that got you in trouble. The mouth was just speaking what was bottled up in there. You understand that? The mouth made a confession of it. The mouth made a manifestation of it. It came forth. You know, it's not always the action. It's the thing that motivated the action. That's what we deal with. We get down to the spirit of the problem, down to the root of the problem. And what happens a lot of times, these things, we get to looking at them and we bring them up into the limelight, and that's not the issue. The issue is something else. It's like Brother Pike said about tobacco. He said it shows the smoke coming out of the abyss of hell. He wasn't talking about the tobacco being the infest. It was an allegory to showing something else that is boiling out of the inside of a man. It's another problem down in there. Cursing is something bad down in there that's vile, and it's just coming out. Let's go on here just a little bit. Just speaking with you. Brethren, we want to learn how to apply the Word of God to our life. They've tagged this ministry here. I guess I said it enough times that they put a little thing and said, this is the ministry of the present day application. We got to take the present truth and we got to apply it and bring it to an application. Or we're guilty, brethren, of just knowing the word. You know, we're not justified by the quotes. We're justified by the doing and the actions. You understand that? I've seen guys able to pass a flight exam, ground school, but they can't fly the airplane. You know, you could sit there and quote the Bible to me and tell me all it says this and talk about it, get excited about it, and you've never broke ground. Just can't get her in the air, amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 20, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth them that sent me. So if I reject Brother Ed here, did I just reject the Lord? Come on now. He said, well, I think it has to do with if they're, you know, a child of God or not. Well, I can't contest that. But in your mind, nobody's a child of God except yourself. Now, what are you going to do with that? Because we're so inflated in our own self, you know, that we have problems. We can't receive from nobody because we're already better than smarter. Boy, that's a dangerous place to be. My Bible teaches me to again to esteem a brother greater than myself. You know, when you fall in love with the Lord and you fall in love with Him and you know what He done for your sorry self, you love people. And you know that they're all exactly in the same place that you're at, needing the grace and the mercy of God. And I want to show that. You know, amen. Let me read 20 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Matthew 10:40, I'll just read it to you real quick. It says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Got to be careful when you're rejecting somebody. He that heareth you heareth me, Luke 10:16. He that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. That's pretty powerful stuff. The Bible said it's not profitable to grieve the man of God. You know, see, people say, well, what does that mean? Because if you grieve the man of God, you're grieving God. If you're despising the man of God, you're despising God. I'm just reading the scriptures to you. This isn't about me. I got to conform to this stuff too. I've sat under pastors also. I had to submit to them. I had to make my life available. I had to come under subjection. I had to come under headship and leadership and take reproof and rebuke and do those things. That's why I'm here today. So many times I watch people, they want to go self-employed or go into their own business for the only reason they don't want to take orders from nobody. And they want to do their own thing. They're not going to submit to nobody, so they go start their own business. I see ministry starting up. You know, bless God, they're not going to subject or submit. You show me a pastor that never sat under a man of God, under real reproof and rebuke. A man ain't worth a count. He ain't fit for the ministry. The Bible teaches that they have to be sent forth. They don't just go. Amen. This isn't about me. I'm just bringing understanding and revelation to you that we can understand how to walk in the fullness of the gospel, that we could be fulfilled in utilization, winning souls into the kingdom. When Jesus had said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast, saying unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give sop. When I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. There's a reason that it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. That's powerful, brethren. Why did this have to come for the Son of God could be glorified, the Son of Man be glorified, and God be glorified in him? If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You know, the Bible says we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's a reason, brethren. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Where I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Why canst... He don't give up, does he? But why? Come on, Lord, wait a minute. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. That's a tough one, isn't it? Till he denied me thrice. Let's go to Galatians, the beginning of the fourth chapter there. We're going to read down just a little bit. You all right, everybody? I like preaching, you say. I like coming to church, man, with a lot of excitement. I'm excited about the Word of God, amen. You know, we can come in here and shout and yell and get excited and stuff like that and leave with our mind is void. But again, the Bible said the bishop needs to be apt to teach, and we're going to take a little bit of time and get into some revelational things that will change your life and get you out of the religious realms, get out of walking in the religious wandering. The Bible said, like a man running and beating at the air. You know, there has to be a fruit of your revelation, a fruit of your understanding, a fruit of the things of God. Amen. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I would like to go into some teaching with you. I've taught some, and some of you may have the revelation, but there's a difference of the adoption of the sons and the ones that have translated into the kingdom and birthed into the kingdom. The Bible speaks about being born of God, and then these ones that are adoption, and there's a dimensional differentiation there that is simple to understand and comprehend. But let's go on here. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Y'all know what an heir is? Isn't it awesome? Man, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I'm heir with that. Ain't that wonderful? Sometimes we walk below our privileges. We didn't overcome the revelation. We're an heir. Amen? He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen? Everything. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. That's a good reproof to us. Think about the servitude that we gave to the flesh. Think about the servitude that we gave to the world. You know, I've heard men that worked for corporations for many years. You know, man, I worked for 27 years there. That's what I got to watch when I retired. Well, what's wrong with that? Nothing. I hope I got more than just a watch to show after doing something for many years. Some said, man, I did 28 years and I didn't get nothing. Well, you know, you say you had a job, you fed and took care of your family, you had something, you know, but, you know, just looking at it, what about serving God? But think of the servitude that we've done to the flesh and the things that we've done to expand a carnal, natural empire that goes to naught and to nothing. See, some of you have never had the opportunity to be at the deathbed holding the hand of somebody that was worth multiplied of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they were so distraught and in despair, and they knew that none of their wealth mattered. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to look in the eyes of somebody that the doctor said that you're dying, there isn't anything to do, and they had money, they had insurance, they had everything that they could get with the medical field, but all that didn't mean nothing all of a sudden then. The pretty car with the brand new smell of the leather and all that. And you wouldn't let nobody this and that. It had the pretty smell. But when you're laying there and your head is busted and your bones are busted and blood's running all over, all of a sudden it don't seem to much matter no more. It's all in a state of thinking, in a state of mind. When your body is broken and in pain and agony of something eating you from the inside, of like cancer, all of a sudden, it really doesn't matter that much if you curled your hair or not that morning, or maybe put your makeup on the way that some of these women do. All of a sudden, it just don't seem to matter no more. The vanity's all gone out the window. It's all gone because you're in such agony and such pain. All of a sudden, it don't mean nothing anymore. You see, it's just a state of mind, brethren. The vanity world of flesh, and we get so caught up in it. I remember Brother Pike sharing a story about a beautiful woman and the man fell in love with her. They were young children. The little guy fell in love and he wanted her, but she wanted many other men. And she went out with man after man after man after man and got all used up. And then one day she came to him and desired him. Now she desired after she done took and frolicked her youth away and her beauty away, and then she wanted him. He didn't want nothing to do with her. He said, that's going to be many people that have gave their youth to the elements of this world and to Satan, their strength, their youth, and all that. And then all of a sudden they use it all up and they say, oh God, you know, here I come now. His spirit doesn't always strive with man. He doesn't even draw them. They can't find repentance. And you say, oh, I don't believe that. I think as long as there's breath in lungs, they can find repentance with God. Well, you've been lied to because there's no Bible for that whatsoever. Yes, God could take an 85-year-old man and fall on his face and repent, and he could bring him right into his kingdom to show his mercy. But on the other hand, he could look at him and not even give him the time of day. And he said, depart from me. Come on now. We got to learn to understand the mind of God and the mind of Revelation. Brethren, let me go on here just a little bit. I want to get on down here just a little bit. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them would by nature that are no gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months, and times, and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. I want you to think about that. Why didn't he say, well, be as Jesus Christ? He didn't say that, did he? He said, be as I am. That man knew where he was at. He knew he had the revelation of the Lord. He knew that he was no longer living and now was Christ. And he was walking in the authority and the power of God. And he said, be as I am. I like that. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He wasn't ashamed that he laid his life down at the foot of the cross of Calvary. He wasn't ashamed of that whatsoever at all. People are afraid to speak. They're afraid to be dead and let Christ live. Amen? And you say, I'm just not catching this message. In 1 minute, it's all humility. The next minute, you're the King of Kings. And I say, well, maybe you might come to something if you're starting to differentiate. There, I hope you can. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as you are, and you have not injured me at all. Ye know how, through the infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God. How did they receive him? How did they receive this man walking in the earth, brethren? Somebody tell me, how did they receive him? And then it went on to say, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Some of you are having problems with this. I was preaching holiness. Man got up and took his family and walked out of the service. And he said, Brother Rob got no business preaching like that. But he said, my granddaddy could. And what kind of ignorance is that? That makes God a respecter, doesn't it? See, I could esteem Brother Pike as, you know, him no longer living, but now it's Christ in the earth. Some of you would esteem Billy Graham that way if Billy Graham walked in your presence today. If Billy Graham came in, you'd esteem him as a great angel of God when he's an angel of the pits of hell. Boy, that makes people mad to hear that. Oh, the great Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists, said with more presence than any other evangelist of any given time. Well, he don't even know if hell's real or not. I surely not going to sit under a man that ignorant. If he doesn't know hell is literal or not, why would I sit under a man like that? He doesn't even know if it's necessary to truly believe in a virgin birth. Well, what kind of stinking stupidity is that out of supposed to be a great man of God? He's just one of them, well, I'll be nice. Just Antichrist. That's nice. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. That's pretty powerful, ain't it? Now listen to this next part. I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you, but not well, yea, that would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is God to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children of whom I travail, in whom I travail. Now listen to this. It's a brother speaking, in whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to my change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, that one by the bondmaid and the other by the free woman. But who was the bondwoman? Was born after the flesh, but the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, as the children of promise, but as them, he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but the free. I hope you followed that thread line down through this of what the Lord was speaking. Now we start talking, he said it's an allegory, started talking about a bondwoman and a free woman. Now we got to go to you. Which one are you? What if I said you were both of them? You'd say, that don't work, Brother Rob. Well, Jesus made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. The Bible teaches us some revelational truths about the elder serving the younger. Do you know that wasn't proper in the Old Testament? You remember Joseph, all the problems that he got into with his brethren when he went in and presented this dream or presented this vision? You know, all of his brothers were going to submit to him, and his own mother and father were going to come and submit to him. You know, that was a spit in the face to his family, and they rejected him. Look what they done to him. They reject him and put him out. Well, do you see what they did to Jesus? The very same thing. They done the very exact same thing to him. What are they going to do to you today? They're going to do the very exact same thing. Jesus said, for what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And he said, oh, no, not for the good works that you've done. Oh, not for you taking, you know, these loaves and fishes and feeding the multitudes. Oh, no, not for taking these sick and afflicted and bringing healing to them. That's not why we're going to stone you. We're going to stone you because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. That's what they told him. So then what is it today? But Jesus turned to them and he looked at them. He didn't say, oh, yeah, this is what I am. He looked at them and he said, but isn't it also written that ye are gods? That's what Jesus said to them. He said, isn't it written that ye are? He put it right back to them. He put it right back to them. This is what I'm preaching tonight. I'm putting it to you. And I say, you know, people draw up when you start teaching this. You start teaching the authority to lay hands on the sick and they recover. You start teaching that we got the authority to remit or to retain sin. We got the authority to do these things in the name of the Lord, to bless or to curse. Oh, you know, but Jesus didn't come to curse. I understand that. He came to do exactly what he done, but then he gave us all authority and power, brethren. Let me ask you a question, if this isn't what's right. When Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, did he bless or curse them? Somebody answer me. Oh, it must have been a curse. They fell over dead right there, huh? It didn't sound like a blessing to me. So are you going to reject that doctrine? Oh, yeah, that was after the crucifixion of Christ. Yeah, that was after the blood that was shed. There was another place where the Apostle Paul spoke to a man and he went blind right then in the midst of all of them, went blind just like that. Was that a blessing or a curse? Come on now, brethren. You know, but see, we don't want to receive the word or believe the word because we turned into a bunch of religious puke. You know, and we just go to church and, oh, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus died for me. And it's like, shut your face. You know, you're ignorant. We need to get into the revelation of the word, the revelation of the Lord. And we need to really see and perceive and learn. And when we start esteeming our brethren greater than ourselves, we'll grow in mighty multitude of ways in the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to learn to esteem our brethren. We got to start seeking after their needs and after their things. And as we do that, then God will bless us. I've said things to people for they can understand. You see, the thing is that, and I'm going to say this again, speaking of materialistic blessings, they're carnal. They're here for a moment. They're going to fade away. You know that beautiful new car? You know, it's going to turn into an old piece of junk one day. I remember back in the mid-80s, I had just come out with this car. I've been looking at them when I was working out of the country. I said, man, I want one of them. I was thinking about getting one of these things imported. And I thought, man, they didn't have no minivans in the United States until 1984. And I looked at these minivans over in other countries. I really liked one. So then I came back into the U.S. I landed over West Palm Beach. And I went down through town doing something. And I saw one of these vans. You know, they're the ugliest looking thing on the road today, son, if they even got them things still going. But in 1984, the first minivan to hit U.S. soil was a Toyota. Then Dodge was the first American-made one that came out 6 months later. But there wasn't very many here, and you had to pay $2,000 above book to get one. You know what I did? I paid $2,000 above book. Boy, I regretted that about a year later when I wanted to get rid of it. Because I was even that much more upside down because now the market was flooded. Everybody had them. Here, you just take over the payments, man. If you can't make one, let me know. I'll pay it for you. Anybody else ever been there? I'm talking about ignorance, yes. But I had to have it is what I'm saying. I just had to have it. I've had to have it. Has anybody else ever been there? Well, we got two godless people in here. The rest of you all going to hell. No, I'm kidding. And, I mean, we've all been there. Have you ever thought that you had to have something, and then when you got it, you thought, why did I get this? We're talking about things that you think that you got to have in this flesh. But what I'm saying is, I look at that thing now, and it's one of the ugliest vehicles that ever was created by mankind. But I remember when I bought it, I thought it was a spaceship. Oh, man, this is cool, streamlined looking. And it's ugly. It looks like a boxcar, man. But at the time, it was something I had to have. And then all of a sudden, it ain't so desirable. But how many things are in this world are that way to you? That they'll absolutely take your soul. I use that as just a temporal little example. There's a prosperity message that started preaching very strong back in the 70s and 80s. And the ministers, the television evangelists, they went on, sow seed. Sow some seed over here in the Christian temple. Send your seed offering over here, brethren, and we're going to pray. There's some truth to that, brethren. Do you realize that? There is real truth. I'm telling you, you go out here and sow seed in a garden, you're going to reap. This is good soil over here, Christian Temple Church. Send your love offerings. We have people that send finances and support that watch us on the internet. There's people that send in things, and I'm not mocking that. Thank you. I appreciate it. I trust that God is blessing and adding an increase to you as you labor and so on. But I'm mocking this arrogancy of many of these ministries, you know, that got 7 jet airplanes and 15 beach houses, and they don't have much time to do something for God because they're too busy with all their ignorance. That's what I'm speaking against. You say, you're just jealous, Brother Rob. Well, that's okay. Pray for me. And just pray for me. That's all I could ask you to do. But I could say this, if a man come to the revelation, he wouldn't step into one of those minister's shoes for all of the money in the world when he knows that the day of judgment is at hand and they'll have a greater damnation. Those men that have merchandised and taken advantage of people, they will have a greater damnation in hell. I promise you that. More so, the harlot will have a great time compared to what they're going to have. I'll tell you, they just don't understand that. I got more respect than the town pusher selling cocaine than I do for a preacher that is merchandising and taking advantage of people and their kindness and their fear of God and manipulating that. But let me go on for a moment. I'm going to close. I want to say some things here, and there's a purpose for it, for you can understand. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. There's a truth in a prosperity message. The scripture, you know, say, I want you to prosper and be in health. Prosperity goes way beyond finances. As I testified a moment ago, I've seen the wealthy people that are down in their last moments of life, and really their money doesn't seem to care that much to them. The Bible even teaches that they're going to take their money and they'll throw it to the bats. They're going to find out it don't mean a thing. Don't put your trust in mammon. Don't put your trust in money, because it's going to let you down. God will never let you down. Put your trust in God. I know it takes money and finances to operate, to do things. You know, if we're doing things that's under the Lord, or if we got to have shelter or whatever, it takes finances. But we got to learn, brethren, to follow the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit of God. And those things will take care of themselves when we're walking in the will and the ways of God. We don't sit around and pray for God to meet our needs. We pray for one thing, to hear. And when we hear, He's speaking. And when He's speaking, He's directing. And when He's directing, He's guiding us. And when He's guiding us, we're walking in the ways that'll bring the fulfillment of all things. Amen. We got to get real with this word and get out of the religious rambling, you know, and we're just going to pray and man is going to come down out of heaven. It's capable. That can happen. You know, but it talks about pressed down even from the bosom of man. So we got to use a little bit of understanding with some scriptures and some word. God is a supernatural God. He's a spiritual God. And He could provide and He could make things that doesn't have any elements, and He could bring forth the elements to make whatever. He's still a creator. He could take and add to the little and He could increase it, just as He did with the loaves and the fishes. We're still serving that same kind of God. But now let me go on to say what I'm going to say here. And I've said this, and it'll come back to thoughts, like I'll use something that I've used here on more than one occasion. You could take a man that has a, let's just say, a 2,000 square foot house built by the same builder, and another one with the same builder built a 2,000 square foot house. This house that this man has testifies against him. I could show you a Bible for this. It testifies against him on the day of judgment. The wealth of that man, the riches of that man, will testify against him on the day of judgment. That'll be a curse to him. And the other guy with the exact same house, the same size, the same builder built it, it glorifies the kingdom of God, that God's word is real. What is the difference? This guy sought after his house. The other guy sought after housing for others. And this was added to an increase to him, and it testifies the provisions of God. God says that when you give houses, he'll add back 100-fold to you when you give substance and those things. So there's the difference. But people can't tell the difference. They'll see one man with this nice home. He goes to church. He's faithful to church. And they say, this is the blessings of God. And it's a curse. And another man that goes to church, and it truly is the blessing of God. But see, people can't see that with their eyes, nor perceive it, nor understand it. You see, there's uncertain sounds in the spiritual dimension. And people will look at it, and because of the prosperity messages that have been preached throughout our land and our country by these charlatan preachers that are trying to get you just to support their wayward ways. So then when we see somebody prospering financially, we automatically make them children of God, sons of God, or in the will of God, or the blessings of God are upon them. Everybody that has provision should say, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Even if they're not in church, they should give the glory and the honor to God, because we're in a dispensational time of grace. But judgment is coming, brethren. Judgment and wrath is coming. You may not see it. You may not think so, but I'm telling you, the writing's on the wall. It's very apparent of the things that are taking place. And because of the mind of man, the mind of college, the mind of education, you see, people don't see things. Their mind has been perverted in such a way they can't see the things that they would analyze as looking good for America are the very things that are going to destroy America. The carnal mind of the flesh and of the deception of devils and demons that has climbed up all the way into the upper lintels, there's people that are programming the people to think a certain way. This is why America's in a dependent type of a mentality, or an expectant in the way of, you know, I'm a victim. You know, you're not a victim. What did he say to the Galatians? Who's bewitched you? You know, when somebody comes up crying to you that, you know, well, my daddy just wasn't good to me, just tell him to shut up and get over it. Well, my mama was no good. Say, shut up and get over it. What's your excuse? I could care less what your mama was. Huh? Now, see, somebody feel sorry for me, please. I say, shut up. Come on. You know, you said, Brother Rob, we can't talk to people that way. I said, don't recommend it. But I'm talking in the mind of revelation. You know, like, why are you bewitching yourself with that kind of a mind? Why are you limiting an unlimited God when you could do all things through Christ? Why are you going and thinking about your poor little self, the way you were raised and what happened, and gird up your loins and be a man and say, you know what, God's given me his power and I could do all things through Christ. I could walk in all authority and all power. I could walk in the demonstration of the Spirit of God, and he'll give me my heart's desire as I desire to please him and walk with him. He'll add an increase. I mean, there's people in this world, brethren, that were 75 years old and built some of the most powerful businesses. And they didn't start until they were 75 years old and built an empire and become wealthy. You know, so what are we going to sit around? Oh, my daddy was no good. You know, get over it, please. What is that hindering you for? And this is what people do. They want us to feel sorry for them. I like Brother Andy Beachy's phrase. I don't pet devils. And that's what people want us to do, pet that little devil. They get that little old devil up there, you know, and it's like, oh, poor me. You know, and then you go petting it, and it's, oh, poor you then. You know, that old slimy thing slimed over on you. You say, well, Brother Rob, we have to show compassion and love to people. If you understood the bowels of compassion, then I would agree with you. But you're showing fleshly mercy and compassion to some reprobate that God's going to cast into hell. And you're showing compassion to that individual. You're throwing the pearls to the swine. You understand what I'm saying? You put the stinking silk underwear on a pig. That's what you done. Come on, there's a difference. You know, we don't want to do that. And that's what we do with this old flesh. We want to garnish it. We want to promote it. We want recognition. Kill that stuff. Let's serve the Lord. Let's serve God. Let's give our life as a living sacrifice, our reasonable service. Let's deny ourselves. Let's decrease that He could increase. You understand that? Now we're talking about revelation in the mind of God. Now you could say the right things, but are your actions showing it? Oh, I understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, where's it at in your actions? Where's it at in your attitude? Where's it at in your giving? I'm not talking about financial giving. I'm talking about when you're out here with others. And I've been taken advantage of it because people will perceive that you're a giver and that you love the Lord and they'll take advantage of it. I've had to take advantage. But man, I love it. I would rather be having somebody robbing and taking advantage of me as I'm doing something that's under the Lord. And God just blesses you back. And then you have somebody else that's so scared that somebody's going to take advantage or get something out of them or do something for nothing. And they're afraid and they're just robbed. You know, it's like, hey, just relax. Praise God. You know? I wish I come to this revelation at a younger age, man. I honestly do, brethren. I wish I could have come to some of the things I'm trying to pour my heart out to some of these younger guys in here, like Brother Josh back there. He's sitting here listening to these things. I hope that they could break through and bring him into a revelation. He could do so much great things for God at a young age if he doesn't have to go through the same ignorant travails that I did as a young man, not seeing or perceiving. You know, you pour your heart out and you try to get people to think like, you go line upon line in the scriptures, reading the word of God. And it's alive to me. It might be boring to some of you, like, well, let's just go home. This is so rich. It's so real. You know, and it's so factual. And it's so proven. This word of God is so proven to me. I see it, and when I've exercised it, when I applied this, I saw the fulfillment of this work. And I find man that's walking in a curse on a continuous basis, and it's simply because they have not applied this. You see, I teach things. The Bible said, you know, judge not unless you be judged. Okay? And it said, in what manner of judgment that you judge others in, you're guilty of. I teach that. But then yet, you, Brother Rob, you teach us to judge. I teach how to judge out of the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. Ye that are spiritual, judge all things. And we'll even judge the angels. Come on now. You know, well, you can't judge me. I judge you every time I see you. I look you up and down. I'm making a judgment. Thinking, God, you'll get him one day. No. you'll get him, Lord. I'm going to keep on. You know, a fisherman's pacing. You know, he reels that thing in. Oh, there ain't nothing on it. Reels that thing in. I just keep on fishing. I got him. I got him on this time. We keep on going with patient love and concern. Yeah, I'm sorry to say that sometimes we bring some in, they just don't measure up just right, and we got to put them back out. Some of them ain't edible. You know, we just got to put this one back. You get a little disappointed, discouraged. Why'd you put that one back? I was afraid some of them ticks might got off of him on you. I don't know what a fish got, but does a fish ever had a tick before? Probably so. And amen. Y'all love the Lord. Let's stand together for a moment. Just talking with you a little bit, hopefully said something to make you consider, examine, to think of your brethren. I remember a message we preached well over a year ago. I don't know, maybe getting to be a year and a half now, I don't know. But the Lord spoke it to me right outside that door on my way into church. He said, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. And that message is still ringing in my ears, brethren. And this is where you've limited yourself because you don't know who your brethren are. You'll never know who you are. If you can't see Christ in your brother, you'll never see him in your life. If God's blood wasn't worthy enough to cleanse up your old brother, it'll never be good enough to cleanse you up neither then. And when you're always continually degrading and putting down and destroying your brethren, you ain't made it. You can't do it. There'll be something in your heart, something in your spirit, something in your mind that says, man, please don't do that. You're speaking against my brethren. You're speaking against my family. You know, oh, he's got problems. I understand that. But he's my brother. God saved him. God set him free. God filled him. God died for him. God gave him everything that pertaineth unto life. He's my brother. If he's got a problem, why don't you help him instead of help step on him? Why don't you help him get up? Why don't you give him a hand? If he's failing, why don't you teach him how to live? Why don't you teach him how to walk? Why don't you teach him how to act? Just quit smashing him and killing him and destroying him. Help him. He's my brother. Amen. Isn't that the compassion and love of God? I'm not talking about trying to help somebody that's puking on the Lord and vomiting and just making an open mockery of God and trying to. But brethren, I can tell you, we got men here that are sincere. They love God. They're doing their best they know to do in a continual effort. Amen. You know, they got an old flesh mind that comes in and wars with them and gets them in these different things. But be careful. Be guarded over that old religious devil that wants to climb up into your mind and into your thoughts. Remember that one that's esteeming you. You know, flatterly digging a pit. And you think, well, I don't like flattery. But why do you flatter yourself? You know, you think, well, you know, this brother's flattering and this brother's flattering. But sometimes we just flatter ourselves. You know, you the man. Man, I don't know if these other guys, when they look in the mirror, man, looking this good. You the one. Come on, man. That's scary, ain't it? You know, I'm going to close with this thought, something Brother Pike said. To help some of you good-looking fellas out there. Some of you gorgeous hunks. He said, being good-looking is a curse. We're going to close with that. Let's sing a song or two. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, you'd have to expound on that, Brother Rom. And I'm ugly, so I'm blessed. you don't think you're ugly, do you, Brother Rom? Well, my feet are beautiful, according Amen. To the Word.
That's right.
Come on now.
The Word.
Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this evening. We won't keep you too much longer. Pray for us, saints of God. Pray for our endeavors and our efforts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know if I made mention of this, but Brother Steve's court date for the 15th was pushed up, pushed forward. They haven't got a date yet set. But remember him in prayer. There's many brethren. Brother Tab was moved into somewhat of a work camp, transitional place. Pray for him. Brother Jeff Chapman is applying for one right now. Remember these brethren. These guys, you don't know some of these guys, but they're true brethren in the Lord. And they're trying to serve God incarcerated. You say, ah, it's jailhouse religion. I know what that's all about. They get back out. They'll be like a dog going back to the vomit. And I said, but I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to give them a chance to prove otherwise. Amen. And you can come and say, I knew that's what it was all about. I say, yeah, I'm not ignorant to the word. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to give a man an opportunity to prove himself, to show himself. And I'm going to do everything in my ability to lead him, direct him, and guide him in the gospel. And that's why you're here. You're here to help. Brethren, you're not just here. You're part of this. You're part of this work. You're part of this team. It's your obligation to talk, to lead, to teach, to pray with guys, to encourage them, to help them, strengthen them. If a brother's in error or out of order on your job, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to lead him, direct him, to teach him, to guide him. That's your responsibility. Demand respect. We're Christian men. We're out here trying to win souls. Our businesses are lifelines to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into them homes. It's not about just putting tile on their floor or paint on their walls. It's to bring the good news of the gospel to these people and show them that there are people that love the Lord and are serving God and walking in the Spirit of God. That's what we're doing out there. We're looking for an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ. Demand respect, demand decency, demand honesty. That they don't reproach you and your business to your clients. If a man is listening to rock and roll music, run him off. If he wants to listen to rock and roll music on your job, run him slap off and get the reproach out of your business. You understand that? When you got a company truck with your name on it and you got some reprobate out driving it and wants to be smoking and running and talking stupid and parking crooked in the parking lot, and then goes off into a restaurant and sits and watches sports and talks about the filth of the world, you're an absolute jerk for letting a man take your vehicle and your business and your name and defile it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you listening to me? We're guarding over the name of God. We're the sons of God. We're preaching the kingdom of God. It's now. And we're going to live right and walk right. Thank you for helping me to bring these people in. Thank you for lining up with me and helping me teach and lead them. We're going to expect some failure. But let's start demanding respect. Let's start demanding godliness and holiness. You bring a man on your job and he wants to wear his earrings, get him out of there. We don't allow this stuff. We're sons of God. What is wrong with you, brethren? I'm telling you, we need to guard over the kingdom and godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness. You want preaching? I can preach. Come on now, brethren. I know how to preach the gospel. I demand godliness and holiness. I don't want them stripping off. They take their shirt off. Run them off. That's for the pigs.
Amen.
That's for them other beasts out there. Jesus' garment went all the way to his feet.
Praise God. Yes.
We keep ourselves covered.
Praise God.
Amen. Because we believe in holiness and godliness and virtue.
Amen.
Now, brethren, we got to make allowances to work with people. We got young folks coming in, people we got to work with and love. But how long are we going to let them defile the name of God? Start demanding respect. Demand decency. Demand godliness. Demand holiness.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.